Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Janet Greener, who is the Director of Education for the Ontario Personal Support Workers Association. We've heard a lot about PSWs lately and how they are a vital link in the healthcare chain for people that need assistance at home or in long-term care. They assist people who are seriously ill and the elderly, and they perform a variety of functions, including help with healthcare needs, personal assistance, palliative care, support care, and they even work around the house doing things like cooking and housekeeping. The work of PSWs is so incredibly varied that you'd be hard-pressed to get any two people to give you the same definition of what a PSW does, and the job has gotten even more complicated with COVID-19. Talking about the works and needs of PSWs is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Over the weekend, the fourth PSW died from COVID-19 in Ontario. It was a 59-year-old woman named Sharon Roberts who worked at Downsview Long-Term Care in North York, and she had worked there for 24 years. Downsview has had 56 residents and 46 employees who have all tested positive for COVID-19, which illustrates just how risky it is to be a PSW in these precarious times. So would you be surprised to learn that there are really no rules, safeguards, or oversight for these important workers who definitely stand on the front lines of healthcare, but they certainly don't get treated like it? In a May 1st article in the Toronto Star, reporters Nicholas Kung and Jason Miller covered a call by the Ontario Federation of Labour to mandate standardization of pay, schedules, and other benefits for PSWs. As the article says, quote, "precarious work, a patchwork of job descriptions, a hodgepodge education system, and the lack of any formal system of licensing and governance are just some of the cracks in the profession being laid bare by the spotlight on long-term care homes where some of Canada's roughly 500,000 support workers are on the front lines of providing critical care to the most acutely ill," unquote. There are 130,000 PSWs in Ontario alone, by the way. Now, the OFL is not making any argument that the Ontario Personal Support Workers Association has not been making for a long time now. The OPSWA is based out of Cambridge and was founded in 2010. Their mission is to continuously strive to improve the professional status of PSWs in Ontario through advocacy for excellence and consistency in training, services, working conditions, and value to those they serve. They've been seeing for years the things that other groups are now finally making note of in the wake of COVID-19. So are we going to finally give the industry the attention it deserves? This week on the Guelph Politicast, we're going to talk to Janet Greener about the work of a PSW, their duties, their training, and the variety of work that they do. We also talk about the OPSWA's attempts to form a set of standards for PSWs and to regulate the profession with some universal guidelines for training, education, and oversight. We also discuss how the COVID-19 crisis has brought the work of PSWs to the forefront, how they've been rising to the occasion, and how the government has helped make their compensation more commensurate with their workload. And finally, we will talk about what PSWs need to do their jobs better, their concern in pre- and eventually post-COVID-19 world, and whether the gains they've made during the pandemic will remain in place once things go back to quote-unquote normal. So I caught up with Janet Greener earlier this week from her home via Skype. So Janet Greener, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem.
Why don't we just start with like the basics? Because I think that for a lot of us, we understand or we've heard the term PSW, personal support workers, but unless people sort of have firsthand experience with, you know, seeing a PSW on the job, maybe they don't fully understand what that job entails. So can you just like maybe describe a bit about the duties and the daily workload of a PSW?
Right. That's a very good question. So a personal support worker works on the healthcare team that includes nurses and physicians and other professions. The PSW is responsible for daily living activities. So that is bathing, feed, food, eating, shopping, personal hygiene, medications, making sure patients can stay on their medications as long as they can take them themselves. Mm. It really does depend as well too on the abilities of the client and where the situation is. So in a home care situation, a PSW would go and visit daily or every other day per schedule from the nurse and complete tasks under their scope of practice or tasks that are delegated by the nurse practitioners. So it can range from helping with personal hygiene and helping maintain the home to moving and shifting and performing various tasks like simple physiotherapy or wound care, maintenance of medications. In a hospital and long-term care residence, those roles also change a bit more. It really is an unregulated field that is very wide scope of practice, mm-hmm. as long as it is delegated by a nurse practitioner and part of a care team, the PSW can basically do anything that they are assigned to do.
Mm-hmm. When you say unregulated, I mean, what in terms of like maybe training and in terms of like specific skills that a PSW has to learn, how does one, I guess, go about accumulating those skills, and how is the how are your workers kind of organized?
So in an ideal world, personal support workers would be considered integral part of the healthcare team and therefore have an association and a college of personal support workers that would, you know, make sure that curriculum standards are consistent across colleges, universities, and other private colleges, and then ensure that their personal support workers keep up that maintenance of professional education. That is not an ideal world. We do not have that in place. It's never been in place. And that is what the Ontario Personal Support Workers Association has been lobbying for about a decade. This is important because without some sort of regulation, the level of care and competency of personal support workers cannot be tracked or guaranteed.
Right.
Which means that the profession cannot necessarily be as professional as it can, nor can we give credit to those excellent PSWs that are very compassionate and good at their jobs when there are, you know, there's always a few bad apples out there that don't make the right life decisions.
Right.
So regulation would bring a sense of professional accountability for personal support workers and the healthcare team as a whole, but it also ensures public safety, knowing that these people that are coming into their home daily or on a schedule do have an association or a college backing up their credentials and making sure that they are educated in all aspects of providing daily living care. And then, of course, working with the interdisciplinary team of nurses and physicians and other professionals. So right now, because that's not our ideal world, it can almost be described as a bit of a free-for-all. You have people that can take, you know, weekend programs and call themselves a homemaker or a personal care provider. Or, I mean, there's a multitude of names for it, but they can also refer to themselves as a personal support worker because there is not one body that is ensuring that everyone is at the same level of education.
Right.
Now, that being said, most long-term care homes and hospital settings are very diligent on making sure to vet their personal support workers. So that doesn't apply to every situation. It's just that the possibility of that happening and that it is able to happen is enough that regulations should be in place. So just the fact that it might happen or could happen because it's unregulated should be enough, considering we're working with the public, that regulation should be in place.
I guess in this perfect world you're describing, where does that regulation come from? Or how would you start to develop that regulation? Is that something that would come from the government, maybe from the health agencies having input too? Is this something that maybe the industry has to come together on and present a sort of overarching, you know, framework that, you know, this is how we see our industry functioning? Or is this like a much bigger conversation that this might be something that would be years in the making outside of sort of the normal business right now of dealing with the pandemic?
No, that's a very good question. And thankfully, I have an answer to that because the Ontario Personal Support Workers Association has been sort of acting as a mock regulatory body. We offer the personal insurance, personal liability insurance. We offer continuing education support. We offer all the things that an acting body association of a regulated field would do because we know there is a lack for it out there. So to support personal support workers. And this is a body that's developed by personal support workers. So they realized that there was a giant need for this. And part of that association has been, Miranda Ferrier has been lobbying to get regulation for a very long time. Since this pandemic has come out, of course, the conversations have increased. They've been actually increasing over the last 2 years about making a move to self-regulate personal support workers. I mean, but as we know, the government doesn't say anything until clearly until the news is ready to be broken. So all we can speculate is that they know that the need, especially now with the pandemic and personal support workers and frontline healthcare being so important and recognized and needed at this point, that there we need to give a little bit back to this profession and make sure that our public is safe.
Right. And your colleague Ian De Silva wrote something in the, or it was covered in the Toronto Star. He said that PSWs went unnoticed until COVID-19. It makes me wonder what kind of challenges there were, like, that the PSWs were facing. And I gather that hiring, like just finding the people who can undergo the training and or maybe have the training and get them to stay in the PSW business has been an issue. And I remember before the pandemic on my local TV station, ad after ad of saying like, hey, come work as a PSW and have, you know, a great career working with great people. And I've even seen the signs around some of the you know, the long-term care homes here, you know, people looking for people to be PSWs. It makes me wonder if staffing wise, you guys were ready for a crisis like this.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, your point proves it exactly. And Ian and Miranda have been massive champions for trying to improve this profession long before the pandemic came. And the PSW field is not, necessarily, it's not a prosperous or respected field because we're the front line on a healthcare team that has no accountability from any sort of avenue, and the pay is very low because we're unregulated, and the job is really hard, and there's no acting body that has the responsibility to deal with cases of abuse or cases of sexual assault or cases of physical assault. I mean, we have been, the association, as I'm saying, as we have been dealing with those cases for many years, trying to advocate and help and help PSWs through very serious situations where they really have nowhere else to turn to. They're left of their own accord. Some agencies are excellent at taking care of their staff, but we can't guarantee that in every, whereas if we had some regulation in place and a body that people could report situations like this, which is what the association hopes to achieve, then we might improve the profession of personal support workers, and then retention and recruitment will go up because people will be proud to say they're a personal support worker and be supported by this self-regulating body and have, you know, continuing education and move forward like many other healthcare professions.
Mm. Is it a flaw in the system then that maybe you had this vital health practice in the form of PSW sort of come up and become so vital in the health system, you know, sort of outside the typical things you would think about in terms of establishing a business, like having a professional association, setting up rules and standards that, you know, it sounds a bit like if I were, you know, starting a city and I didn't have any bylaws in terms to govern how you build a house, right? It seems like I would then have a city where I would have some really great houses. I would have some really badly built houses. The metaphor may be strained, but you get what I mean.
Metaphor, to be honest.
Right.
It really is. And I mean, like you said, the thing is roles of healthcare professionals, nurses, RPNs, physiotherapists, speech therapists, everyone has sort of evolved and changed over the years. And as they grow, regulations and scope of practice and responsibilities have changed. So we've started to notice a gap between some of the other healthcare professionals, and then the PSWs have just sort of stayed behind and done what they do. They sort of just do whatever is left over to do.
Right. I do want to address,
because we don't have a regulated profession.
Right. Right. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I do want to address the current dangers. And I know you've probably are watching this fairly carefully, but, you know, we're talking on Monday. There have been now 4 PSWs who have passed away because of their exposure to the virus. We're on week 7 or 8 now of sort of the province-wide lockdown. You know, it seems to me that the PSWs and maybe people, other people who do work in the long-term care homes are maybe in more danger than earlier in the pandemic. Is that your feeling now too?
I feel that it's always been a risk. I mean, they are working directly with those who are affected. So, of course, walking out of your house and going to work, your chances are significantly higher than, say, you or I who are not. And that is a really hard risk and burden to carry. It is extremely unfortunate when those do fall ill and succumb to the virus. And we just have to consider all the families and PSWs in our thoughts and prayers, because, I mean, it's a risk. And if you're not able to take that risk, then don't.
Right. I've heard stories, of covered stories in the media, on my site too, that we had nurses, the Ontario Nurses Association actually had to go to court and select facilities to get the PPE that they needed to work with their patients. And my thought was, if nurses are having trouble getting PPE, how much trouble are PSWs having getting PPE?
Well, it's the agencies that need to request and provide the PPE. So if a PSW or a nurse is having trouble to acquire PPE, then it's directly an agency problem versus a personal worker problem. Does that make sense?
Right.
So PPE is widely available. We are on ministry calls every day, and we know of where everybody is getting it. So if there is a home or an agency that actually needs assistance, we are able to help them to acquire those needs. And I would love to assume that everything has been resolved, you know, by now. But if someone personally is having trouble getting PPE, then to be honest, they're not asking the right places.
Right. We've, you know, that situation may have resolved itself and just in terms of people ramping up production and not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there definitely was a shortage at start, but I mean, our communities rallied and Doug Ford rallied to get everything that we need. So if there's a shortage now, then it's a different issue, I think, going on.
Right. Hearing from your members, I'm sure you've been in touch with them during this whole situation. You know, what are their concerns in the field that they're dealing with? You know, what sort of, you know, maybe things that are affecting just the day-to-day performance, or, you know, things that they don't have access to, additional support? You know, what's sort of the great needs that PSWs have in the field right now?
That's a really good question, and it may not be what you may think. Our PSWs, they're in there every day and risking, they're taking that risk to be in those dire situations because they love their jobs and they love their clientele and they love what they do. Their needs right now is that they are tired. They are burnt out. Their mental health is affected. So what is also nice about OBSWA, our Ontario PSW Association, is that they offer. We are always in communication with our members, so we often will assume what they need or ask what they need and then work our butts off to provide it. So,
right.
We've been providing mental health support for free specifically to our members by other PSWs so that, you know, there's that sense of community and relation. We've been just giving out resources rather than asking for them to take an initial step and reach out, because when you get to a point of exhaustion and compassion fatigue, you just can't necessarily take that one extra step that you need to actually get some help. So we've been sort of flooding them with information and support and making sure that we know, they know that we appreciate them. And if they need anything at all, we're here to help. As for like immediate needs, if a home needs extra staffing, we've got an emergency PSW list that we've been dispatching to long-term care homes. We've got over 350 people on our list, and we've dispatched to over 100 homes when they email specifically me. That's been my role. So I get a number of emails daily where homes are saying we need some more personal support workers. And so then we send out the contacts we have. So we've been trying to keep up to make sure that the staffing issues are resolved quickly and that people are able to work reasonable hours. If agencies need any additional education or support, then we're the first to try to figure out a really manageable, quick way of handling that. Mm. And I mean, we've always been providing additional education and everything that we can do to just help people maintain their profession. Some first aid requirements we just launched in order to get online COVID. I mean, sometimes you can't get your first aid in work right now because you need to attend class. Well, we partnered with First Aid for You, and they're able to honor an online program until COVID is over. So little things like that that just ease some of the burden for PSWs is what we've been trying to do besides any acute problems that arise that we directly deal with.
Mm-hmm. I imagine, and I'm thinking the long term here, that big crises like COVID-19 show us like sort of where the gaps are in the system and where there needs to be sort of more work to be done to you know, create more consistency, create a better system. What are you learning from the pandemic that, you know, that you can take going forward that may help PSWs do their job better once things get back to quote unquote normal? And so much as, you know, we may never experience normal again for a while, but, you know, outside of the immediacy of COVID-19, what has the pandemic taught you?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because if anything, personally, I believe it taught me even more humility, because I, as a frontline worker myself, I joined with OPSWA in order to create change for personal support workers. And that mindset has not changed. If not, it has strengthened more so to the point that these people, these personal support workers, are out there every single day during this crazy, scary, terrifying event. And they're still not giving up, even though we've been fighting for, you know, self-regulation and accountability and some support for years. These personal support workers are truly dedicated to their job and their clientele, and their compassion and strength, it humbles me, and it humbles our association even more so, knowing that we are fighting for the right thing.
Mm-hmm. In visiting Mr. DeSilva's comment about the visibility of PSWs, I've been sort of raising this with other people in industries that have been affected by this. And just for an example, I talked to someone from the union, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, who represent a lot of people in grocery stores and places like that, who minimum wage workers who have suddenly been foisted into an essential worker status have seen pay raises. I've seen, you know, a bit, you know, better treatment in regards to their past. PSWs are kind of in the same boat, really, in terms of, you know, I guess status in terms of the work structure. They've also gotten a pay increase. They've changed the rules to make it so that you have one PSW working in one facility and not having to hold down spots at multiple facilities. Recognizing that government doesn't often go backwards when it comes to these kind of changes, are you hopeful that maybe these, you know, better pay, you know, more flexible in terms of like a PSW can make enough working in one place that they don't have to hold multiple positions? Are you hopeful that those concessions are going to hold once the pandemic is over?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're hopeful, and we're also keeping our, it's almost like you put your finger in at that page in the book and you don't go back. Exactly. Right. So, Miranda and Ian, our executive, they have been, communicating with, Minister Fullerton and of long-term care, and they've been very, very supportive of the association and our initiatives, and they've been really listening. And, they've also been thoroughly communicating all the changes and everything that go forward. So we're very hopeful that we can make some permanent change. And like you said, the personal support workers need some security when it comes to their jobs, and they need to be able to function like they're supposed to, and they'll be able to make a living wage that reflects the amount of work they do. And yeah, we have to stay hopeful, especially during this time, because I mean, that's why they've humbled me, is because they're still so dedicated after all these weeks and these months that if we don't get change and stay hopeful for them, then, you know, there's no thinking of where it might happen. But I think it's a very positive change on the future.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of the things I was thinking about, and it's not about assigning blame, though, it just seems like we kind of need these moments to sort of organize the mind. I think we've probably talked about PSWs more in the last couple of months than we have in the entire maybe past 10 years.
Well, that's you.
Right.
Stop talking about them.
Well, this is very true too. It strikes me that, and I hate to phrase it this way, but you know, it's a blessing and a curse that, you know, we have to sort of experience these, you know, stark moments in order to appreciate, and this is true across just about any industry we have right now, from those grocery workers to the PSWs.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you include grocery workers, because it's true. I mean, if we think back to what we actually essentially need in life, we need food and we need health and we need love and support. And, you know, grocery workers, they contribute the food, and PSWs really are critical to that love and support and that health piece.
Right.
And I'm just so grateful that we're finally recognizing them, and that Miranda Ferrier, when she started this small association 10 years ago, now has a massive, massive amount of members that she can support. And that's all she wants at the end of the day, is to know that someone is supporting them and rooting for them and trying.
Back to basics.
Right, exactly. I mean, we all need it takes a village, right? And this village happens to include personal support workers and grocery store workers and bank tellers, like all the people that keep our lives running smoothly.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you this as maybe a final question. I've seen, you know, people do the parades, the honking of the horns, and it to as a show of support for everyone in the health industry right now. But in terms of what us regular folks out here in the real world can do to help support PSWs specifically, I mean, because that's your organization, but I mean, just, you know, people in the health industry, I know we're also talking about slowly reopening business and the economy, and you know, we have people getting outside with the nice weather. So what can people do to help PSWs right now to make sure that they have the best chance to sort of lick this where they are, lick the pandemic?
That can be, you know, a wide answer of a thought, to be honest, right? Because I mean, you could go so far as to, again, honk your horns and cheer and support. If you know a PSW, you know, just say thank you. Or if you pass one, say thank you. If you have a family member, you know, offer to do a little bit more. But if you are in a position where you can communicate to the government for self-regulation and support the Ontario personal support workers in that avenue, then you can go as far as that. So it really would depend on the people, but just acknowledging the fact that our healthcare workers are so extremely stressed, and they have the burden of not only entering homes that are of, you know, imminent danger, really, they also have the worry and stress of coming home and perhaps passing that to their family. So their sacrifices through this whole thing is much more significant than mine is sitting in my house with my kids all day. I mean, right. I'm not saying that's easy, but it's definitely not an added level of burden. We haven't had these mental health, I'm not going to say challenges. We've had mental health challenges, but it's a environmentally impacted mental health challenges. So, I mean, there's a lot that is going to need in the recovery after COVID, and, you know, encouraging self-regulation and encouraging, you know, the continued efforts made by the government for all frontline healthcare workers, but also too, like you said, the grocery store clerks and the other people. I think making sure that continues to move forward, be that social media or whatever, is the least that we can do. Mm-hmm. You know, keep those back to basics going, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, your kids have certainly been well behaved for the portion of this podcast.
I know.
So.
I'm not sure where they might be. I'm gonna have to. I hear some upstairs. I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm very thankful, though. It's not very often.
So, Janet Greener, thank you so much for your time and insight today, and thank you to all the PSWs you represent, who have certainly risen to the occasion and are doing great work out in all the communities across Ontario. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And once again, that was Janet Greener of the Ontario Personal Support Workers Association, and to learn more about the OPSWA, you can visit their website at OntarioPSWAssociation.com. That is OntarioPSWAssociation, all one word, .com. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to CFRU.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host at Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. When you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will also get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you soon, probably next week. You never know these days. And until then, see you next time.